Sexy and Van City Radio may contain adult content. Listener discretion is advised. You are listening to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM, CITR.
Welcome to Sexy and Van City Radio on 101.9 FM on CITR. Or maybe you could be one of our podcast listeners, however you've decided to spend this hour with us. We are very, very, very glad to have you. Well, it has been a really cold day, and one of the things that has been coming up, and just in general, I've heard it a lot in the last 10 years or so, is Vancouver's a very, very challenging place to date, which, as you know from the show, we've had our ups and downs on that. Different people speak about different things. One of the things I'm really excited about is I've got a very special guest on tonight, and we're going to be talking about a really cool festival that in regards to film. So if you are looking for something really cool to do this weekend, and as well as that, just to open up your mind perspective-wise as well, it's going to be pretty awesome. I've got the lovely, the talented Siobhan McCartney. Welcome to the show.
Hi there. Thank you so much for having me.
You're welcome. And you are producing an amazing festival that is coming up very, 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 very soon, are you not?
Yes, I am. I'm very excited. I've been working with Kickstart Society, Disability of Arts and Culture, as well as our co-producing partners in this amazing endeavor are BOCCI, which is Burnaby Association for Community Inclusion and Possibilities. And we are together producing the WAM Festival, which stands for Wide Angle Media Festival, and it's the first ever disability media festival on the West Coast.
I think that's fantastic. Congratulations.
Thank you. It's been a 14-month-long endeavor, and it comes to fruition tomorrow. We open, and it's really, really exciting.
That's fantastic. So paint me a picture of the festival in terms of some of the films that are going on, and I think it's just tell me a little bit about it.
Well, the festival was very much born out of need. There isn't a disability media festival happening on the West Coast, and so what we decided to do was we applied for funding, and we were very, very fortunate to have Canada Council, BC Arts Council, and the City of Vancouver come on board as our funders, and then we had other funders come on along the way, and we were able to commission 5 films across the country by filmmakers with a disability. And it's an international festival where we will be screening films from around the world by filmmakers who have a disability. And we're probably one of the only festivals in Canada where the mandate or the only criterion is that the filmmaker has a disability and that the content of the films don't need to be about disability. If they are informed by disability and that tends to be part of the theme, so be it, but it wasn't one of the necessary factors being in our festival.
What is the definition in regards to the film when they're applying of a disability?
Oh, self-defined. I don't ask for a doctor's note. That's rude.
Okay. I thought I'd ask. You never know.
So. Yeah, please. It's funny because I have some filmmakers who've been saying, you know, I see myself as a filmmaker, and what if people ask me about, you know, what my disability is? I said, well, just ask them how you like to have sex. Or, like, our other favorite one is, what's wrong with you? And I say, well, nothing but your perception. You know, it's, yeah, it's really interesting. People have self-defined. And so I think that's a real encouraging approach. We are definitely not medical model.
What would you like to see, like, out of it? Like, in regards to some of the films, like, in terms of the ones that you've chosen, what are some of the things that, like, just paint us a picture in terms of the broad perspective of stuff that people can see?
Okay, well, tomorrow night we have our first screening. The program is called Finding Love and Friendship. And we're really fortunate. We have 2 international guest curators, Chelar Kaminchu and Julie McNamara, who are here from the U.K., and they founded the London Disability Film Festival.
Mm.
And they've done that for 10 years. So they've been very much mentoring us through the experience. And so we're going to be witnessing, the first film is called Finding a Sky, which is one of the most beautiful films I've seen in a very, very long time. It totally gave me hope. It's I'll give you the synopsis. It's a brief encounter between a retired naval officer and a former painter. Once a hero at sea, the captain, played by John Alderton, struggles with increasing dementia, which allows causing concern.
Mm.
And he meets a newly blind woman in an old age home. He leads her on a mission to the garden for a moment of seeing that lights up both of their lives. And it's such a romantic, touching film. It's just, even when I speak of it, I get what my son calls chicken skin. Goosebumps. Just a fantastic, fantastic film. Really, really beautiful. Another film that we're showing tomorrow night is All Day. And it's a romantic comedy about two single neighbors who are looking for love, and each one of them fancies each other. They're from the UK as well. But neither knows that the other is deaf, and they keep visiting each other in the same locations, but they just keep missing each other, and it's kind of like, will they ever meet? Because they keep talking about, oh, I like my neighbor, but he'd never go for me because I'm deaf, and how would we communicate? And then he's saying the same thing to his friend in a pub about his neighbor being the woman, and, you know, how would I converse with her? And it's just ironic that they're both deaf, you know? Another film is A Reason to Stay, and it's about a woman who is having challenges with her son around living together. And, and so it's kind of an interesting film. And then we have The Extraordinary Life of Rocky, which is from Belgium. And it's a modern tale of bad luck and a tiny bit of bliss. As Rocky grows up surrounded by death, everyone around him dies of a freak accident.
Oh, wow.
And each time he's at the center of it all. So it's kind of a really challenging, cute film. And then my song was an amazing film. It was really thought-provoking. I enjoyed it. I was on the jury. It was about a young woman who is trying to learn how to sign language to find herself. She's very challenged hearing-wise, but isn't fully deaf, and she's trying to find her way into the deaf community, and as well trying to, you know, have challenges within her own nuclear family. Her mom has started to see somebody Scottish, and she can't read his lips at all. And so it's this challenge that she has to try and fit in either community, the hearing and the non. So, yeah, that's our lineup in the early screening tomorrow night. And then our later screening is all about politics and where there's people, there's politics. And there's some really hilarious film in that lineup, one of them being by a woman from Spain. It's called Invalid or Invalid. It's kind of a play on words. And this woman just never seems to want to tick the box. She doesn't quite fit into any kind of description, and it's about her going on a journey into the workforce, and it's, you know, how people are looking at ability versus disability. So it's really kind of tongue-in-cheek film. And another one that's quite cheeky that we're showing late tomorrow night is called Wheels of Fortune, and it's about two actors who are constantly fighting for roles, and they're both in wheelchairs, and they're, you know, they're fighting for the same part, and one's always losing out to the other one. And he's kind of a nerd, and he shows up to the audition, and he's really early, and he's wasting time. And he goes to the washroom, and he sees the other actor actually standing at the urinal. And he finds out he's been faking being disabled because he's been able to win more parts by pretending to be disabled.
Really?
Okay. Yeah, super cheeky. Super cheeky. Really, really fun film. So that's our tomorrow night's lineup. And then on Friday night, we commission five films from filmmakers across Canada, and it's the world premiere of their films. So that's really, really exciting.
That is,
and then,
really cool. When you say five films, do you mean feature length? Or
no, they're shorts. Okay. They're shorts. Gosh, yeah, for a first year, it would be hard to commission five features. But
I was trying to visualize that all in one night, and I was like, wow, that's I'm impressed. So
but, I mean, unto themselves, I mean, a huge accomplishment. I look at the one of the films, Will, is by Lawrence Cohen and produced by David Cormican. And they were in the Prairies when I notified them that they had been successful in their application for the commissions. And they were like, this is great. When do we have to deliver? And I said, March. And they said, oh, but it's about two soldiers in the trenches in World War One, and we're in the Prairies, and the ground is frozen. How are we supposed to... How are we going to shoot this? So they went to L.A. and they shot it in the desert.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, pretty fantastic. Pretty fantastic. So I'm really excited to screen that film. Another one that we've got is Jan Derbyshire. She's a local
performer. She's a comic, yes. She used to teach at Gastown Actors Studio many moons ago.
Yeah, her film is Sanity for Beginners, and it's a comic docu-fantasy about the craziness of psychiatric labeling and drugging. So, yeah, quite tongue-in-cheek, really clever, clever film. Another favorite one that I'm excited about on that night is Patience and Absurdity, and it's Sylvia McCormick and her mom, Sylvia McCormick. And Sylvia McCormick is a fantastic soundscape artist, and she just won one of the Remarkable Women of the Year awards. Here in Vancouver, and she has MS, and she cares for her mother, who has Alzheimer's. And it's about the two of them sitting down and trying to have a cup of tea.
Hmm.
And it just takes you through this fantastic, touching journey of their anxiety, grief, you know, the humor and the joy that they have to reside in on a daily basis to try and survive. It's a very, very touching film. I feel so privileged every time I watch it, just to have a little slice of her life. And boy, I wish I was patient, as she is. Amazing, amazing, amazing. And then last up, we've got Penguins by Matthew Kolchuk, who went to UBC. And it's a great little film that he's been working on. It was a theater piece that he had toured across the country and then got some funding to do some script work on it. And it's been kind of a 10-year project in the making, and it was really exciting to be able to provide him the resources to make this film. And sorry, we have one other film that we're showing is Beauty School as well, and that's David Roche's film, and it's about a woman who's losing sight of what makes her beautiful and is struggling with the question of whether or not she should be getting a face transplant.
Oh, sorry, I just got the visuals on that one. I hope everybody realizes that everybody is beautiful. So
yes, and I think the irony in this film is that the writer is David Roche, and he's actually plays, what would you call the beautician, I guess? He plays the beautician, and David is quite prolific. He's an amazing speaker and storyteller, and he's got severe facial disfigurement. So you can really see when you know him where the subject matter came from. Yeah, so that's our Friday. And then our Saturday, we have a mini animation festival. And then Saturday night, I'm really excited about. We have two different programs. One are film about art and art films. And ironically, a few of the filmmakers have mental health backgrounds in that setup. And there's some beautiful films like Necessity from Australia, are two dancers. And it's just a very haunting, mysterious, and graceful contemporary dance piece that's just absolutely spectacular. I really encourage people to watch that film. But our late night screening is Sex, Love, and Money, where we've got some really funny, cheeky films that I'm really excited to talk about. One of them is Deaf Mugger, and it's a person's experience when he's trying to mug somebody and he's got an interpreter trying to interpret the mugging, and she's like, I'm sorry, this isn't in my job description, and he's signing to her, like, you have to sign, your job is to sign, and she's like, give me all your money, you know, so this kind of juxtaposition of, like, where's your moral compass when you're on the job, and you're supposed to be interpreting for somebody, and like, am I going to get arrested, like, what's going to happen here, and really, really cheeky, funny, funny film. Another one is Vera Cam, which is from the Desirability series that the BBC did.
Okay.
And it's Vera Little. She lost all of her fingers and both of her legs below the knee in 1993 because she had acquired a major acute staph infection that occurred post-breast implant surgery. She had been a former erotic dancer and you know, had breast implants and then had this horrific staph infection. And this whole film is a kind of a foray into what she called the Vera Little Media Project, where she did a whole online photography film digital performance about her foray into the fetish community and what it means to be erotic and disabled and how people are sexually attracted to amputees. So it's really a fascinating portrait in an intelligent, upbeat, matter-of-fact way of telling it. Like, she's not sentimental in any way. She's very forthright. And there's absolutely no ambivalence whatsoever around the devoted community of stump lovers. And I find that really, really fascinating. It's not every day that you have somebody take you into that really personal journey of what is considered sexy, what's considered not sexy, and people's perceptions and perspectives of disability through an amputee perception. Very interesting, interesting. I think the BBC did a really great job on that. And then similarly, we have another film that's called My One-Legged Dream Lover that's coming from Australia. And it's from the radio announcer, Catherine Duncan. And she's been missing an arm and a leg since birth. And it was her foray once again into through the internet about amputees being beautiful and a website for amputees and their friends. And through this website, she gets known through stump lovers and amputee devotees and men who are adoring her simply because of the fact that she has one arm or one leg and how they lust after her. And so she's rather flamboyant and really forthright once again in regards to the amputation fetishism and how that arouses, how those arousions have many contradictions within her.
Mm-hmm.
And within the person who may have those arousals. It's really kind of heady in some regards, but she's contended with this all of her life. So I think that's what's an interesting juxtaposition from My One-Legged Dream Lover to Viracam, because in Viracam, the subject had been an erotic dancer before and then had this this life experience happen to her that then pushed her into the disability realm, so to speak, whereas My One-Legged Dream Lover, Catherine Duncan, speaks from a place of she didn't know a life before. Like, this is all she's ever known. So there's that kind of interesting approach to how in Viracam somebody's sexuality may have changed as a result of a life experience, whereas for Cass Duncan, it's more of how her sexuality has always been a part of who she is. And how... you know, she says, you know, I'm a reverent freak. Like, that's totally fine by me, and that's, I am who I am, and this is who I've been since day one. So it's interesting to see these two different subjects and how they approach the world of these lustful admirers.
In regards to, is there going to be any talk back or anything?
Definitely. Okay. Definitely. We're going to have, I'm going to be there to help facilitate talk back, and so we'll tell our community choose. We're really excited to get a dialogue going because it's often subject matter that people don't talk about. You know, people don't, I mean, there was an amazing article in the Huffington Post just 2 days ago through a film called Sins and Valid where they were like, yes, disabled people do have sex, you know? And it's just something that often people don't think about. And I think it's interesting to try and bring that more into the public foray. I mean, we have another film that we're showing on Saturday night as well that's called Han Solo. And it's hilarious. It's about a porn star who's got the Midas touch. He's a deaf man who becomes internationally famous because it's a mockumentary, and he's like internationally famous because of he's very, very good with his hands. And he ends up blowing this woman's mind, literally, because of his amazing talents with his hands. And, you know, we had a lot of communications and conversations within our curatorial team. We've got two international curators who I've already mentioned, Chellar and Julie. And then we've got Bruce Saunders from Movie Madness in Victoria. And then Jeff McMurtry, the artistic director at Kickstart. And then myself. So, you know, we've got different generations on our jury. We've got different genders. We've got... people who are gay, who are not gay. Like, we've got like a whole mixed bag. And it was interesting because I thought Han Solo was fantastic. I couldn't stop laughing. I was like really excited to want to present sexuality in a really comedic kind of farcical way without it being so serious, because we're already showing two more intense documentaries, so to speak. And yet, you know, my amazing co-artistic director, Jeff, was like, it's goofy. I don't want us to be considered, you know, like, people might not take us seriously. They might be offended if we show this film. And I was like, really? Why would it be I'm always fascinated just between our own curatorial experience, how each of us through our own perceptions and perspectives in history have different approaches to the work, and how, you know, what we might like, what we might not like, what might be political to show, what would be entertaining to show. You know, it's kind of an interesting juxtaposition that one has when they are all of a sudden curating or jurying a festival, insofar as, you know, what are we saying as a collective team and as an individual by presenting these films. So I'm hoping that will provoke a lot of interest and and definitely get a dialogue going for sure. Yeah, hot night at the Roundhouse.
I was just going to ask, where is everything happening? Which is, I think that's fantastic that it's the Roundhouse, because it's close, it's easy for people to get to.
It is, but it's also a statement. It took me 4 months to find a venue that was accessible for more than four wheelchairs.
That's incredible.
It's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, did we not just host the Olympics and the Paralympics? Did we not once have a mayor in a chair? Really? Like, the Van City Theater can only accommodate four people in chairs.
That's huge.
The Civic Cinema Tech can't. I mean, and it was interesting. I was even at one point thinking, can I rig up Vivo, video in, video out? But then it's like they can't use the washrooms. I mean, there were so many challenges to try and find a venue that could accommodate people that are not, quote-unquote, able-bodied.
That's
or at least more than four.
Mm-hmm. No, that's wild. So,
yeah.
Wow.
We're going to statement unto itself that we're having to turn a performance art center into a screening venue.
Which speaks volumes.
Very much so. Very much so. And just so grateful for Brenda Racanelli and Matt Frankish and the City of Vancouver for coming on board and being such amazing sponsors and supporters of our festival. Very fortunate.
You know, I think that's fantastic. And I had no idea before you mentioned that there was only that basically that the Roundhouse was the only place and that you had to search that it was such a challenge to find the right venue.
Definitely.
But I'm really glad that you found it, because it just speaks to how important it is. And especially, as you said, we just had the Paralympics not that long ago, etc. So it's really, really key.
I think so. And I mean, what's so great about the Roundhouse is with the new SkyTrain station just right there, it'll be accessible for everybody, you know.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a really great time. We're also holding master classes and workshops at the National Film Board in the Woodward's 2 building, the W2 building, during the day. And we're really excited and fortunate to have the NFB come on board as a sponsor and by providing us the amazing screening room for all of our workshops. And I'm really excited that we've got the Canada Council coming out to do a grant writing workshop, and they have a new funding stream available to people with disabilities through their equity office. And I'm really, really excited that they're going to be coming and kind of sharing that information with our constituency.
No, I think that's fantastic. We're going to take a really quick short break, and when we come back, I want to chat more about just how you, just because as you're mentioning, just everybody in regards to selecting films, and just such a diverse group, and I want to chat a little bit more in regards to how you chose which films you do, because it sounds like you've got quite a really, really wide diversity, which I think is fantastic and needed to be. So you're listening to Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. We will be back in just one moment.
Any UBC student knows that the year begins optimistically.
In your arms tonight.
But by the end of it, you're ready for a little. Any smart UBC student will therefore know that it's best to get your tickets early to the annual AMS Block Party, featuring Mother Mother, Masterpack, DJ Headspin, The Boom Booms, and more. Thursday, April 5th on the McInnes Field, your AMS brings you the fifth year of music, partying, and hopefully some sunshine. Early bird tickets available at the Outpost until March 9th, and general tickets available thereafter. For more info, search for the AMS Block Party on Facebook. The fifth annual AMS Block Party is proudly sponsored by CITR.
Music, the art of sound and time. Waste, to cause to lose energy, strength, or vigor. Music Waste, Vancouver's annual independent cultural festival, accepting submissions until March 31st. The festival will run from June 7th through the 10th at venues across East Vancouver, and, as always, will focus on the city's more innovative and genre-defying music. Don't forget to also mark your calendars for a fundraiser planned for April 6th at the Astoria Hotel. To submit to become a part of Music Waste, just visit musicwaste.ca.
Thank you. The alphabet has only 26 letters. With these 26 magic symbols, however, millions of words are written every day.
This month in Discorder, this month's cover features the experimental punk band Shearing Pinks, three dudes who have been an underground Vancouver staple since 2005 and have over 50 releases, big and small, under their belts. Also featured this month are The Bleeding Hearts, who released their debut EP this month, a review on Wim Wenders' latest film, the 3D dance epic Pina, an update on the Rio's ongoing battle to show movies and serve liquor, not to mention a bunch of excellent show and album reviews, and all of your regular features. Pick up your beautiful and free copy of Discorder at any Friends of CITR business, or if you've gone paperless, don't forget to check out Discorder at discorder.ca. Discorder, that magazine from CITR, supporting local music for over 25 years.
Are you walking to class? Are you grabbing a coffee? Got lunch hour to kill? We invite you to fill the silence of your day with the sound of some live music. Music on the Mind? UBC's newest student concert initiative invites the School of Music out of the concert hall into the schoolyard. 10 concerts at 5 venues on one campus. Let's get music on the mind at UBC. For more information, visit ubcmusiconthemind.com. Sponsored by CITR Radio, Vancouver, BC.
Calling all BC short filmmakers, the third annual Vancouver Short Film Festival is back and accepting entries until August 1st. Students and professionals welcome. No max time limit, but keep them short. At the last festival, 45 short films were screened. $18,000 in prizes was awarded. For more information or to enter, visit bsff.com.
And we are back in Sexy in Van City Radio, 101.9 FM on CITR. And if you're just joining us right now, we are talking about the Wide Angle Media Film Festival that is put on with Kicks and Kickstart as well. And I've got the lovely, the talented Siobhan McCarthy. Oh, I'm going to say it right.
McCarthy.
Yay, I got it right this time.
There you go.
And so if you're just joining us, one of the things we were chatting about before the break is just there's such a wonderful wide diversity in regards to the films chosen. And with that, how did you come up with just such a wonderful array? Like, were you surprised with some of the stuff that was submitted?
Oh, most definitely. We decided from the get-go we wanted to be a legitimate festival. I mean, when I first pitched this festival to somebody, they looked at me and they said, like the Special Olympics, you want to be a special festival? And I went, you're really going to have to buy me another scotch so I can continue this conversation. Because we need to sit down and have a talk. We need some education here. It's always been the little kind of engine that could. And so we went through Without a Box, which is affiliated with IMDb, the International Movie Database, and we put our call out that way because we wanted to be an international festival so that these films could be, so that we could have films from around the world and we could have the rich, really beautiful voices of the disability community and from an international perspective.
Mm-hmm.
And because some communities in some countries are far more progressive than others, you know? So it's really nice to see the evolution of how people with disabilities have been more embraced. And, I mean, myself and a couple of our producing partners in this endeavor really believe that we need to penetrate and infiltrate public perception and changing public perception through the arts, because ultimately filmmakers are the historical anthropologists of today, you know? They're documenting the world in which they see and how they see it and how they witness it and experience it. And so, you know, to be able to have filmmakers with a disability provide that insight, it's a very special thing, you know. Like, you'll see through some of these dance pieces, like Water Burns Sun, you're going to see people rolling around on the floor, and you're going to see images that people may not be as comfortable as seeing. They might just, you know, be more comfortable with seeing somebody in a wheelchair, staying in a wheelchair, and not seeing them dance and roll and express themselves in a much more grand way.
Mm-hmm.
So, it's really, really kind of fantastic the way it all came together, and I really, really need to put a huge shout-out to our international curators, both Julie and Chellar, and how they really helped find a lot of the international films and championed them because they had been working with other festivals around the world and kind of came with a library of knowledge already, so to speak, And, mm-hmm. and that's very much what we're wanting to do, is create more of an international circuit of disabled filmmakers so that we can kind of change perceptions and perspectives and create opportunities for people that may not have otherwise been given opportunity. And that what was so important to me around the commissions was the first thing I did when I was given this wonderful opportunity was I approached Paul Bronson from William F. White International and said to him, you know, one of the things that we have challenges with in our community is lack of access to funds, lack of access to equipment, and I want these filmmakers to be on an even playing field where these will be broadcast quality films so that they will have a life,
mm-hmm.
and they can be seen on an international screen. And would you be interested in donating packages similar to the Crazy Eight Festival? And he was more than happy to do that and, you know, brought Ed Brando on board. And we've just been so very, very fortunate to have their support and to be able to produce these films through their production packages. And then, you know, it started to snowball. We had William F. White, and then we had Front Row come on board and help us with some reduced rates for the insurance. And, you know, so these filmmakers were really able to make their films in a professional way from A to Z. And, you know, we're going to continue through mentoring and helping them in the distribution process as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that was really important. So without a box, I mean, it was great, but it had a lot of challenges. To come back to, you know, your question so far as how did we find these films, because mm-hmm. I don't know if you've ever had to use International Movie Database.
I haven't, other than Googling myself.
Yeah, it's, and then try and get a credit on there. Like, it's not user-friendly. It's not user-friendly to the most savvy, technologically advanced person. Never mind somebody who may have some challenges with either a head injury, developmental disability, or just sheer frustration. It's not user-friendly. And so applying through the Without a Box, I mean, there were some amazing, wonderful things that could happen where filmmakers are able to upload their films and were able to witness everything kind of on screen, because we'd be Skyping and Chiller and Julie would be in, you know, they're in the UK, and then Jeff is in Victoria and Bruce is in Victoria and I'm in Vancouver. So, I mean, we couldn't have this International Media Festival without the advent of, thank you very much, Skype, you know.
Yeah.
Really integral to us being able to hunker down it and to have the internet to be able to watch these films through Without a Box without having to ship DVDs back and forth. I mean, I was waking up 2 weeks ago with like heart palpitations, like, what if the DVD is not going to play? What if it's not regionally offered? You know,
mm-hmm.
Oh, geez Louise, you know. So it's been really interesting to pull all of these films together and to create this amazing program, and how each of us found certain films that we started to champion and really enjoy. And then when we started to select them and whittle down our shortlist, we also found that these interesting themes started to come to play. So, you know, we've got love and friendship. We've got sex and love and money. And then we've got a mini animation festival, which I'm really excited about.
Mm-hmm.
And then we've got cultural connections, where we've got films from, like, Shoddy and the Beautiful Well, it's more than a co-pro. It's, you know, Wales, Denmark, and Lebanon, of all places, coming together. And it's about an autistic boy that lives in a Palestinian refugee camp, and he breeds pigeons.
Mm-hmm.
And one day, his white pigeon dove goes missing, and it's his journey to try and recapture his prized possession.
Mm-hmm.
Another film that we're showing is Kugongo's Breaking the Silence, which is a documentary of his experience when he found this amazing family album that ended up, when he did the history and behind it, it was from a Japanese Canadian family that was put in, they were interned during World War II. And so they have had it taken away from them, and it's his whole experience creating this film that he had done, this documentary that was Breaking the Silence is kind of akin to Stolen Memories, the actual film that he did. It's called Stolen Memories. So, and then we've got another film, Brain Damage, too, which is by Paul Nadler, who used to be Musique Puce, or in Quebec. He was a Musique Puce director, and he had this horrific car accident where he had a traumatic brain injury, and he was told he would never walk again. And he was rash and defiant in the beginning, and now as he's trying to get his life back on track and trying to still be a filmmaker, you see how, you know, some of his personality qualities really helped champion him to be so tenacious, to get on a path of recovery, to do what he's doing now. Really, really kind of fascinating.
How has, just putting together the festival, how has it changed your perception in regards to sexuality, love, and in regards to disabilities?
Well, Caroline, you do know that I'm a fetish clown.
I do. I didn't know if you wanted to share that or not with our listeners. So
I am. I'm very much so, because it's been something I've been fascinated by for quite some time. Mm-hmm. My clown is Bliss. And she's Bliss with a Y, and she does a reverse burlesque with a strap on, and it's, you know, I don't need a man because I can buy my own. And and often, you know, she will do a lot of discussions and talks about disability and sex and love and money. And you know, one of the things that I always find fascinating through the mental health community and any person who may have been on a road of being on any kind of antidepressant or mood stabilizers, that one of the side effects is that they build in is that there's no sex drive, because they don't want people to procreate with mental health issues. So, yeah, not so interesting, or maybe too interesting. People don't like to talk about it, right? So,
which is why I'm glad you're bringing it up. So,
yeah.
And so with that, in terms of the festival, how do you think this is going to change? Or will it change? Or will it just bring a awareness to it? Or what are your thoughts in regards to, by having the festival, being able to have a platform to basically have people communicate, share ideas in regards to sexuality, both whether it's a physical disability or in regards to mental health as well?
Well, I really have to commend Brenda Racanelli. Like, I was almost, I don't want to say embarrassed, but I was shy to say to her, you know, I really want to do like a red light film night.
Mm-hmm.
Like, pardon me, what do you mean? I said, well, I want to have really racy, in-your-face content, you know, late night screening that's not going to be all roses and fluffy kind of approach to disability and sexuality. Like, I really want to take the gloves off and talk about things that people don't normally talk about. Like, people with disabilities still have sex.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, like, and sometimes they're aided and sometimes they're not. And, you know, some countries, especially in Holland and whatnot, their carers actually can be mandated to provide that sort of assistance. And so, you know, and it's like, then there's that fine line of what is a carer or an aide hired to do versus what are they not hired to do. Like, I know in the Netherlands, you know, some the government will actually pay for prostitutes to come and help people with disabilities, provide them that service to be able to facilitate their sexual self for their healthy being.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we don't really have anything like that in North America that's regimented through our government.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's why I find that the international perspectives and how different countries and different societies approach the subject matter, I think it's fascinating. And I really hope, and I find Vancouver, there's a juxtaposition. You're right, it can be quite cold,
mm-hmm.
but yet there is an underbelly to it as well. And so I'm really hoping that some of the people who are open to having those kind of dialogues, or who are open to being educated and entertained all at once, will want to come out and have a dialogue and witness these films. And I hope it's the kind of environment where, you know, people will want to continue dialogues after the fact. You know, I'm always amazed of what's the conversation in the car on the way home,
mm-hmm.
or on transit on the way home, you know. And I'm really hoping that this late night show of, you know, that we've titled Sex, Love, and Money will help kind of provoke more food for thought, so to speak. So I really hope that people will kind of change their perceptions and perspectives of what is okay and what is not, quote-unquote, okay. I've got my little bunny ears happening. in regards to what's acceptable sexually and what's not. You know, I think many people are brought up to, you know, boy loves girl and girl loves boy, and it's like, well, no. That's mm-hmm. not how it is for everybody. And it can, you know, girls can love girls and boys can love boys. And what if somebody needs a little bit of help with something and you need to consider adoptions? Like, I find in the fetish community, people don't really think of or turn an eye or bat an eyelash when, you know, you're talking about certain toys that one might need to help facilitate what they, you know, how they want to get off. Whereas if somebody with a disability is start talking about sex and toys, it, even though there could, they can be aids to help facilitate, there's sometimes almost a, there's this kind of
stigma
there. An uncomfortableness, so to speak. And I hope that can change. I really hope that can change.
Mm-hmm. In regards to some of the films from all around the world, and you've already mentioned in regards to Holland, just in terms of some of the views are a lot different. Were there any other ones that surprised you? I'm thinking in regards to perhaps more of the, just in other parts of the area, perhaps where religion may be more predominant in different areas where it might be more fundamental, perhaps?
Yeah, I mean, we didn't come across any of those films, but there was a film that we were looking at called Nobody's Perfect, and we decided in the end not to screen it, more because I think it was 83 minutes long. Like, it was a really long documentary, but it's fascinating, and I would really encourage listeners to look it up if it's something that kind of turns their crank. And it was about a gentleman, an artist in Germany, who was a thalidomide child, you know. He sought out all of these other thalidomide individuals throughout Europe and sought them out to photograph them in the nude and to do nude photography with them and have dialogues with them and candid interviews. And Matt Fraser is a fantastic artist that he interviews in this film. And there's also a lovely Irish woman who's great. And it's so funny because he asks everybody, you know, what part of yourself are you afraid to show? And everybody's like, my stomach. And nobody's afraid to show their, what they call their flipper arms or their flipper legs, my stomach. And then the one Irish woman was like, I'm not saying for any woman who's had a child or two, they don't want you to see their tummy. It's not just because of my arms and my wee legs, you know? And it was just like, yeah, that's true. Like, most, I'm a mom, and that's probably one of the first things I'm a little bit more shy of nowadays, is my tummy. And it's really kind of interesting to hear it across. Like, even Matt Fraser was like, I'm working out because of it. I've been working on my upper body, like my shoulders. I'm a little worried about my shoulders. And so it's just interesting to see how, you know, I think every person has their own insecurities and their own body parts that they're not as confident about or they might be shy about. And to then see that translates across every community, stabled or non, is just spectacular, you know, really kind of eye-opening.
No, I think that's really cool. The other thing you brought up earlier was in regards to sex aids, in regards to disability. And were there any that surprised you that you found out about by looking at all the different submissions you got for the films, etc., where it was like, oh, wow, I never really thought about that?
No. If anything, I would hope that, you know, in the future we could dig deeper and maybe put out a more select call.
Okay.
I mean, this is one of the things that was interesting. The way we programmed the festival is we just put a call out, and then everybody submitted, and then we culled through. Whereas when I've now seen, and then as a result of that, and seeing through our culling of our list, we then saw certain themes came into play, and certain themes, so to speak. I think it would be really interesting do a reverse approach and say, you know, we're actually putting an active ask and an active seek out around sexuality and disability. And we're actually putting an ask out around love and disability. I saw a fantastic film last year at the Doxa Film Festival called The Lovers. It was an HBO film, an international HBO production, and it was fantastic. and it was following all of these lovers where one person was disabled and their partner was not. And it was a fantastic film.
It sounds really fantastic.
Wonderful. It was wonderful, you know. And so I think if I was to program something like this again, and, you know, because of my racier side and my kind of approach to the work, it would be something that I think, you know, it would be great to go out and actively seek those films rather than have them come to the foray as a result of this larger call.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's our first year. It's an inaugural festival, right? So you kind of learn as you go, and there's also different tastes of different jury members, and, you know, it's kind of been an interesting perspective and approach to producing and presenting a festival. So, I think that would definitely be something I would do in the future if we were to continue, would be, you know, actually put a specific ask out for certain themes.
Mm-hmm.
Because we didn't want to limit. I mean, a lot of other festivals, you look at the Abilities Festival in Toronto, and you look at Picture This Festival in Calgary, and a lot of their programming are about disability, where the subject or the actors or people in the film can be disabled or maybe disabled, and the theme is about disability, but the actual filmmakers themselves are able-bodied. Whereas we said, no. We want our filmmakers, we want the voice of the filmmakers to be that of a person with a disability. And we're not going to put any restraints on theme or concept or content whatsoever. We're just going to use it wide open and see what happens. And so, I mean, that's been an amazing experiment.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think maybe next time around it would be interesting to put out a specific ask around certain themes just to keep it interesting.
No, I think it's great. What would you say in regards to what have you learned from this whole experience? How has this changed you? Personally.
It's political. It's so political. At times, I'm afraid to say anything because I may not do right for wrong or wrong for right, and I'm constantly putting my foot in my mouth. Like, I had no idea that, like, the deaf community, it's almost, and maybe I'm not even being PC when I say this, but, like, there's a large part of the deaf constituency that are almost offended by the fact that we would say that they were disabled. Like, because they don't identify that way, and that's another thing, right? Like, how people identify. Like, I myself identify as an artist, and sometimes I do get offended if people are like, you're an artist with a disability. No, I'm an artist, you know? So I think that's been interesting, and, like, at one time, you know, a colleague had said, the blind are the darlings of the disability community.
Mm-hmm.
And just, like, not every disability is the same, and that's one of the big things that has had to come to the forefront as well, is that filmmaking as an art, filmmaking as a craft, is a team experience.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a team to make a film. And, you know, not every disability is the same. So, like, today is International Down Syndrome Awareness Day. Like, and we have an amazing film that's John and Michael. That's an NFB film. And it's about two men. It's an animated film about two men and their beautiful friendship living in a home, and one passes, and how the other one has to kind of get over this grief of losing his best friend. And the film was made as a collaborative experience with this with somebody from the developmentally disabled community, and it's narrated by somebody with Down syndrome, and the filmmaker has worked within the Down syndrome community for many, many years, and yet, you know, we had a big struggle, like, is this film eligible for our festival? Is it eligible? And I had to constantly say, but not every disability is the same, and it is a collaborative, like, film is a collaborative endeavor, and so I think that would be an interesting yeah, that's been one of the things that's been a real learning curve, and for myself, because I'm a producer and I'm a content creator, and I'm constantly creating work, and I, you know, thank God and my lucky stars for having the most amazing producing partner in the world, Kate Green. You know, even this week we have a series in development, and she's holding down the fort while I'm producing this film festival. Like, if I didn't have a producing partner and a collaborative spirit and force to work with, I wouldn't be as prolific in my work as I am.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's one of the things that has to constantly kind of shine through this experience, is that it's one person can't make a film by themselves. It takes an army.
Yes, no, it definitely
and then
does.
It's a collaborative approach, and so, you know, two of our producing partners, both Bocce and Possibilities, are working with the developmentally disability community and the contingency. And, you know, one of the things that I really, really hope that comes out of this is that we'll be able to continue with digital storytelling workshops so that we're going to be able to empower the next generation of artists to be able to have a voice and to be able to articulate their voice through the utilization of media. And it doesn't necessarily have to be a red camera. It can be an iPhone.
Mm-hmm.
And that we can provide them with the technology because it's so readily available to us today. I mean, at one point, independent filmmakers were, you know, they're crying that the market is saturated because of the accessibility to technology. And it's like, well, then I think that the community that often, you know, might not have been able to afford the expensive cameras can now be given a phone and be able to do a short piece based on what they're thinking and they're feeling and they're experiencing so that they have an outlet and they have an ability for some catharsis and empowerment through the arts and through media, media art. So I think that's one of the things that I've found to be really exciting about, you know, the future trajectory and where this can all go.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, the learning curve for me is like, am I being PC right now? Am I not being PC? who am I offending? Oh gosh, I'm probably going to offend everybody, you know? And then also, you know, learning curve too about constantly having that lens on. You know, even today when I was scouting the NFB site, I'm like, okay, where are the signs going to go? Where the elevator's kind of hidden behind the staircase. That's not so great. Like, making sure that everything's accessible to people of various disabilities, and that as much as the world uses the wheelchair as the universal symbol for disability, it's not.
That's pretty fascinating, actually. I know it's going to sound silly, I'm still blown away about the fact that there's only accessibility for four wheelchairs at most places. And I'm really glad that you're able to do this at the Roundhouse, where it's a little bit more open. And for those who didn't join us at the beginning of the hour, do you want to just let everybody know the details of the festival because it's starting tomorrow and just full
tomorrow through till Sunday. And the screenings are predominantly in the evenings, but we do have Saturday and Sunday screenings as well. And they're happening at the Roundhouse. And then we have workshops that are happening at the National Film Board. And all of our program can be found at our website, which is www.wideanglemedia.ca.
That's so perfect. Well, as we said at the top of the hour, we're going to be giving away tickets to a lucky Twitterer who has been listening to the show. And so our lucky winner is the wonderful, the sexy, smart, lovely, dear Todd Maffin, who actually did a show on CITR actually back when he was, I believe he was 11 years old, if not younger. So, and he's actually been tweeting and listening to our interview from the Ramada in Regina right now.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, he's from here, though. But
okay.
So he is our winner for the show, so I will make sure I hook you guys up on Twitter or on Facebook as well, which I think is fantastic.
But is he going to be able to come to see this? If he's in Regina?
Todd, if you want to tweet back, and I don't know if you're hearing that right now, because I asked that on Twitter as well. I think he is. He was quite excited about seeing some of the films on Saturday, so I think that'll be pretty cool.
Oh, perfect.
Mm-hmm. Which is awesome. If there was something that people didn't know or didn't think about in regards to disability and sexuality that you'd want them to take away from this film, and you just need to drill it in there, what would you like them to take away from this about sexuality and disability?
That what one person considers to be quote unquote hot is not necessarily everybody's cup of tea.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I think that makes sense, which I think that actually spreads right across the board, that hopefully people, I hope in regards to your explorations in regards to your sexuality, with your friendships, relationships, love, dating, that you have open communication And understanding that there are different ways of communicating as well, and making sure that ideally trying to have some of that conversations to set parameters before you actually enter the bedroom, ideally. So then that way you create it as a safe sanctuary where you can explore and have some fun. But making sure you set up safety first and foremost, regardless of what, and just making sure you feel good about things.
And encourage people to challenge themselves and their perceptions and perspectives, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there have been times when I've had to challenge myself and say, why am I thinking that way? I work within this community. Like, give your head a shake, you know? So constantly to encourage people to challenge themselves, because that's how we grow and that's how we learn.
So true. And I agree with that 100%. Just keep challenging yourself, and hopefully all of us continue to grow, because I think if we don't grow, there's no purpose of being here, actually.
True.
Yeah. So whether or not it's growing because you see the same lessons over and over again, but I hope we continue to explore, continue to learn, and have some fun, because I think it's really important to have pleasure and feeling good in regards to life. So I'm hoping that we have that, and hopefully creates more conversations about disability. What is a disability? As you were saying, just even amongst the different types of disabilities, there are some people don't consider themselves disabled. Other people see different things. And so hopefully those conversations will take place. We can talk about things, keep things open,
and we like to come to a place where we celebrate ability.
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Like, the whole diss is just a diss on the experience, right?
Mm-hmm.
To celebrate and to promote the ability and to look at things from a positive perspective versus a negative perspective.
I like that very much. Well, my darling, thank you so much for being on the show. And
oh, thank you for the opportunity. Thank you.
You're welcome. And by the way, the lovely Mr. Todd Maffin is able to come, so it's great.
Perfect.
He's going to be back. So you get
to
meet
him. That's a nice play on words. Thank you. Wonderful.
You're welcome. Well, up next is the lovely Hans von Claus. He is a very sexy man to be miserable with. He'll be guiding you through the wee hours with his ambient music and his super hot voice. You've been listening to Sexy in Van City Radio on 101.9 FM CITR. We will be back next week at the sexy hour of 10 o'clock. Have a great night, everyone. Bye-bye.
Ladies Rock Camp launches online registration for second camp. Ladies of all ages and skill levels will form a band, write a song, and play a show, all in just 3 days. All instruments, equipment, and food will be provided. The ladies camp will be run entirely by volunteers. The cost is $350 per camper. For every person who goes to the Ladies Rock Camp, a girl in need of financial aid will be able to attend Girls Rock Camp. Camps taking place from May 25th to 27th at the Waldorf Hotel. Registration for campers and volunteers opens Monday, March 12th at ladiesrockcamp.tumblr.com.